Well, friends, at the end of last week, I invited you back by telling you that our sermon would be, Does Faith Work? And that the tension between our faith and our actions is one of the things that Christians tend to argue about. Well, to follow up on that, I thought I'd start today by telling you that Christians are so fond of arguing that we have created 33,000 separate Christian denominations. Yeah. There are those that sprinkle and those that dunk. Those that believe the bread and wine become the real body of Christ. Those who ordain women and those who don't. Those who celebrate LGBTQ people and those who don't. Our disagreements are so numerous that we have divided into 33,000 separate denominations. But ultimately, I decided not to start my sermon that way because I couldn't find two sources that agree on the number. Really? We don't agree on anything, even about how much we disagree. So let me just try to lay out here for you where Christians tend to disagree on whether our faith or our works justify us, whether our faith or our works make us right with God. And let's start by making sure you understand the two sides to the debate. First, from the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. We didn't read the verses that follow today, but they go on to provide a long list of Old Testament characters whose faith should serve as an example to us. The list includes Noah, who built an ark in response to the instructions of God before the first raindrop ever fell, and Abraham, who left his homeland and his family and set out to the land God had promised him, though he knew nothing about it, and Isaac and Jacob, descendants of Abraham, who put their faith in the same promise. What we're supposed to learn from this and understand from this is that faith in God is all that matters, that we are approved, justified, saved through faith, through following, no works required. But we can't get too comfortable just yet, because we also have a scripture from the book of James this morning, and it pretty much claims the opposite. The writer of James also takes Old Testament characters, including Abraham, to make the case that faith by itself is not enough. The writer of James points back to a different story about Abraham to make his point. He points to the story of when God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, Isaac, whom he had waited 90 years for, and offer him as a sacrifice, to kill him. Now, you might remember that just as Abraham raised the knife to demonstrate through his actions that his faith was in God alone, God stopped Abraham. And God provided an animal for the sacrifice instead. The writer of the book of James uses that story as proof that it wasn't Abraham's faith only that made him right with God. It was his actions in response to his faith. Lest we not understand what the writer of James is talking about, he spells it out. He writes, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." So today, we're going to decide, not once and for all, but for today, is it faith or is it actions that make us right with God? If we bring our best understanding to the question, if we bring our faith to the question, what will we think today? Where will we place our faith today? And how will we act? As we start to unravel that sum, let's go back to the Hebrews passage. It's important to understand who was the audience for this letter. These fledgling Christians were living in a very difficult time. Just because they claimed to be followers of Jesus, some had been imprisoned, some had had all their possessions taken, and nearly all of them had experienced hostility, ridicule, and shame because they followed Jesus. They followed a crucified Savior. They needed their faith strengthened. They needed hope, encouragement. They needed to be reminded that their hope was not hopeless. We're experiencing a lot of that right now, aren't we? So much seems so hopeless. Hatred armed with assault weapons, murdering people. Families being separated. If not for our faith, what do we have? If our hope is not in God, where do we place it? Place it in people? No. Place it in the government? No. I really didn't expect that reaction. But, you know, you don't have to check your minds at the door, as they say. Our faith, our hope, is in God. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I don't know about you, but that's what's getting me through right now. Faith. And people like the writer of this letter wanted to remind these people that faith in God had sustained the people for thousands of years. They pointed all the way back through history to God's faithfulness to people like Abraham. And they could also point to something a lot more contemporary. They could point to Jesus. And all those times that Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your faith has made you whole." Ah, your faith. Your faith. Because of your faith, you are forgiven. And I'm clinging to that faith right now. When the world seems to be turned upside down, when a simple trip to a store or a night out with friends can end in death. And I worry for those who don't have faith in something greater than themselves. So I certainly understand this approach in Hebrews. But let's go ahead and look at the passage from James a little more closely, and I'll cut right to the chase like James did. "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." How did the author of James, in writing this letter, come to approach things so differently? Because, you see, the people receiving James's letter were not very different from the people who received the Hebrew letter. These fledgling Christians, too, were living in a very difficult time just because they claimed to be followers of Jesus. Some had been imprisoned. Many had been ridiculed. They'd had their possessions taken away because they were following a crucified criminal, following a crucified Savior. They needed their faith strengthened. They needed hope. They needed encouragement. They needed to be reminded that even their hope was not hopeless. And yes, the writer of James could just as easily point right back to Jesus, to the one who had said over and over, "Your faith has healed you." But I think he realized he couldn't leave it there. I think he realized that had this little group of believers sat back and comforted themselves with the belief that only their faith mattered, they would have sat passively back and been annihilated. Christianity would have begun and ended with them. So instead, the writer of James encouraged them, said, "You got to get to work. When the authorities take another believer's property, share yours with them. When they're ridiculed and beaten down, lift them up. When you want to sit back and withdraw from it all because it's just too hard and you're not sure it's worth it, feed the hungry. Visit those in prison. Take care of the sick. Let your light shine. Let your faith work." extremes that seemingly contradict one another, where do you fall in there? My guess is that many of us move through our lives between those two extremes. If you're like me, there have been times in my life when I was so tired or confused or troubled that I could not accept that God loved me just because God loved me. In those times, I worked hard at being good. I worked hard at not being gay. And I worked hard at being a Christian. I volunteered for everything at my church, and I hoped God was paying attention. And I thank God that I don't live in that extreme space anymore. Even when I make mistakes, even when I'm disappointed in myself or feel I've disappointed others or even God. And then there have been times when I've been so tired or discouraged or confused or troubled that I admitted I could never do enough to earn God's love. And so I just sat back and allowed myself to believe that God already loved me. And sometimes when things are good, I bask in God's love. I can feel it like the 102 degree sun on my body. And sometimes when things are good, I feel God's love so much I can't sit still, and I've got to act on it in 100 ways. At which of those two extremes am I closer to the truth of how faith works? Neither one. At neither extreme. What I want you to remember today is that we don't have to be either or people. We can be both and people. Especially today, we need both and. We need faith and we need works. It's easy, especially for those of us who consider ourselves progressives, to overwork our activist muscles. It's easy for us to get so caught up in our social justice issues that we neglect our faith, that we consistently choose work over worship and justice over Jesus. But friends, that can't sustain you over time. Your faith, your conviction that God is for you, that Jesus Christ loves you, that the Holy Spirit empowers you, that's what you need over the long haul. I was reminded of this just the other morning. I was out in the very early morning trying to set the water sprinkler so that it would water the grass and not the street. I was working on it, and just then one of my neighbors comes by walking her dog, and as dogs like to do, the moment the dog saw me in my yard, the dog decided to take care of business right there. And the woman took out of her pocket a plastic grocery bag and scooped it right up. And I said, "Thank you for picking that up. I'm surprised by the number of people who don't." Oh, and she nodded her head, and she said, "I always pick it up." And she starts pulling out grocery bags. "I pick up all the trash that I see when I'm walking." And I said, "That is such a neighborly thing to do. That is so nice." And I don't know, I guess I looked like some kind of priest confessor or something, because then she says, "But honestly, I don't do it to be a good neighbor. I do it so I can complain about all the people who don't." Yeah. I don't think that will sustain her for the long haul. I think things like treating your neighbor well and being kind and doing the right thing, I think those things sustain us. I believe our faith sustains us. I am certain that doing the right thing so we can complain about those who don't is not what sustains us. Oh my goodness. Those of us who are all faith also get it wrong, though. Yes, lean on your faith in these frightening times. Yes, lean on your faith and your assurance that God always intends to bring us out of the chaos. But remember this when you want to stop there. Jesus never only offered thoughts and prayers. Imagine if Jesus had said to the one who couldn't walk, "Your faith has made you well in your spirit. You will never walk again, but you'll feel better about it." Imagine if Jesus had said to the woman who was bleeding and therefore was considered unclean, "Your faith is the strongest I've ever seen. I will keep you in my thoughts and prayers while you continue to be ostracized and outcast, while you continue to be at risk." Nope. He healed them. He restored them to community. Thoughts and prayers may attest to our faith, but they are not enough by themselves. I want to end today by sharing a story that has brought this all together for me this week, but I have to give you a little backstory before the main story. There have been many critics of the book of James throughout history. Perhaps no critic was more famous than Martin Luther. Martin Luther hated the book of James. For Martin Luther, faith was everything. Faith in God was everything. Martin Luther put his trust in the letter to the Ephesians, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one should boast." Martin Luther, founder of the Lutheran Church, called James's book an epistle of straw, meaning an empty letter. "All is faith," Luther said. This week, one of the 33,000 or however many Christian denominations there are, one of the Christian denominations released a letter declaring itself as a denomination, a sanctuary church. Not a denomination that approves sanctuary churches like we are a sanctuary church, but a denomination of sanctuary churches, every single church. In a press release Friday, church spokesperson said that besides sheltering undocumented immigrants, the church will also respond to raids, fight deportation cases, and give radical hospitality to immigrants. Their church will work. The church will also work on resources for the denomination's more than 9,000 congregations to help them explore and develop sanctuary ministries. The denomination's director of unit operations and programs told the Religious News Service, "It just keeps getting worse and worse in terms of unaccompanied children, separated families, detention centers that are just horrific. And so what we wanted to say as a church body, we want to now act with our feet. We want to take action. Faith with works." And by the way, that church, that denomination, is the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran denomination in the United States. You don't have to live at either extreme. Does faith work? I believe that it does. Amen.